Amen. It is a privilege, folks, to be able to come to the throne of grace. Uzziah tried to do that, and God smote him with leprosy. He tried to enter into the holy place, and the Almighty wouldn't tolerate it. But we can come to the very presence of God. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse number 57. Acts 7, verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Bless your word, Lord. Bless your word. You can be seated. I have watched the Taliban in Afghanistan stone someone. And that's one of the most horrific things that you'll ever see in your life. It's a horrible thing. And of course, you know tonight that the Taliban is back in control of Afghanistan. And they will take a sword and they'll cut your head off, stone you to death. Over in Saudi Arabia, there's a place called the Chop Chop Block. And they take people over there and the crowds will gather around. They'll behead them with a sword. And this is the kind of thing that goes on all the time. When you think about the Jews' religion, how that they stoned people to death, can you imagine what kind of a religion is this? What kind of a world were they trying to build? What do you think these people were doing? You know as well as I do the Spanish Inquisition, especially under Torquemada in Spain. You know the people that suffered. They put auto de fe upon them, a dunce cap on them. And then they would burn them alive at a stake. And all of this because they were heretics. Where in the world they ever thought they had the authority to do that? It's not found in the New Testament. Nowhere in the New Testament did they have the authority to put anybody to death because their faith was not the same as them. But they did. And every child needs to be taught the Spanish Inquisition. This is not to condemn modern day Catholics. It's to show you where you came from. So you'll understand where you are. And if you never have any history, you don't know where you are right now. I remember a different America, entirely different than this America. Kids today, they don't know what you're talking about, but I remember a different America. And let me tell you something tonight, from my soul and my spirit, I love that different America. Yeah, buddy. But in any event, Acts chapter number 8 and verses 1 through 4, Saul was consenting to his death. So Saul is introduced. A young man's feet. Acts 9 verses 1 and 2, Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughtering against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he found any of this way, whether they were. Now watch this. Watch the writer. This is Luke writing this. Here's what Luke says. Whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. I wouldn't want any part of his religion. If I were a contemporary of Saul of Tarsus and of Judaism in his day, and they put their staff of approval upon that, I'd go to the leaders of Judaism and say, you've driven me as far as you possibly can from you. I want no part of your satanic, murderous religion. Amen. No part of it. This is a house of God. It's a sanctuary for souls. It's a place where people can come to, broken people, lost people, hurting people. That's what we're here for. We're not here to condemn people. Holy Ghost will take care of the convicting part. There's a huge difference between conviction and condemnation. Amen. Huge difference. It's a good thing to learn and know the difference. No, we're not. We're not here for that purpose. We're here to help people. They need help. I watched a video last night in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I think it's called Kensington Street. You might want to look it up. It's about 20 minutes long. This guy goes down the street and he's got a camera. Got a camera about his midsection. And until you see it firsthand, it's hard to understand what's going on, folks. Young people sitting there droop down, just like that. Gone. Dead to the world in a dope stupor. Others lying on the street. Garbage piled up everywhere. All over the place, not just one or two. They're everywhere. Philadelphia. The nation was born in Philadelphia. They gave us the Constitution of the United States from Philadelphia. Philadelphia is where they rang that Liberty Bell. Philadelphia is where that is where they came together and they hammered out what it meant to be a nation. It was Philadelphia. William Penn, a Quaker, is the one who founded Philadelphia. Two Greek words, phileo and adelphos. Phileo means love, adelphos is man. So it's the love of man, brotherly love, as they call it today. Philadelphia, and now look what's happened to it. Somebody failed somewhere, didn't they? They failed somewhere. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel can help you. He can help you. But this Saul of Tarsus would kill you, drag women and children to be stoned to death because he didn't agree with their religion. What a sad commentary. Acts chapter number 26 and verses 9 through 11. Here's what he said. He said, I verily thought within myself. What motivated him to do all of that, he simply said, I thought within myself. In plain words, he said, this is what I felt like needed to be done. I felt like this was the right thing. Well, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Not even the man's heart himself. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, try the reins. In 1 John, it says, if a man says he has no sin, he deceives himself. I heard a fellow the other day so full of himself and so full of self-righteousness, it's not funny. He thinks that he has a special walk with God to where he never sins anymore. My friend, that's the biggest lie you ever heard anybody tell you. And the Bible says if you say you have not sinned, if you have not sinned, you've called God a liar. Say, preacher, that's for backslidden people. It's for everybody. All of us. He said, I thought within myself. In Galatians 1:13, Paul said, if you've heard of my conversation in time past, conversation is simply my lifestyle, the way I lived, in time past in the Jews' religion. Now let me say, you've heard me say it many times before, the Jews' religion of 2,000 years ago had nothing to do with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. There were Jews 2,000 years ago that loved the Lord. Nathanael, Zechariah, and others, they loved the Lord, no question. Mary and Elizabeth and others, many of them, they loved the Lord. They were not part of the Jews' religion. The Jews' religion was a satanic religion. This is how they were able to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was the Messiah. And the scripture backed it up. In Galatians 1:23, they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Greater, 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 greater in you than he's in the world. I love to see that atheist get saved. Oh, how I do. I love to see that enemy of the church walk the aisle and get on his knees and confess what a fool he's been. I love to see that one who's tried every philosophy and every religion and everything on this earth come to the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfill the need of his soul, because he's the only one that can satisfy the soul. Once you get him, once he comes in, you'll understand. Philippians 3:6, concerning zeal, he said, I persecuted the church. He was zealous. 1 Timothy 1:13, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I'm going to just drop a little bit with you, and we'll pick it up again later. The Bible says if you speak a word against the Son of God, you can be forgiven. But if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, there's no forgiveness in this world, nor in the world to come. The ministry of Christ was to be received or rejected. But in order to receive him or reject him, it had to be done by the Holy Ghost. And that's where the issue comes in. You see, a man who's never heard the gospel, has never been convicted by the gospel, is a man who does not have to give an answer for that. Christ is still the Savior of all men, but he doesn't have to give an answer for that. So you speak a word against the Holy Spirit. You speak a word against Christ by the Holy Spirit. In plain words, you're blaspheming and saying, I don't believe in you. I know who you profess yourself to be. I know you're great. I know you're this. I know you're that. You're supposed to be this, but you're not mine. Got no use for you. See you later. And away they go. What happened to Paul on the road to Damascus? He came face to face with the Holy Spirit of God. He did. That was his moment right there. It was his moment. And what did he do? Lord, what would you have me do? Oh, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. He had rejected him and rejected him and rejected him and rejected him till the Holy Ghost got a hold of him on the road to Damascus. And if he had blasphemed against him on that road, he would have been blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and Saul of Tarsus would have gone to hell. Sure would have, but he didn't, thank God. Somebody had to write the New Testament, and he's the man. In Acts chapter number 9, the Lord said unto him, this is Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And watch this. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, we don't like that. Who likes that? Who likes to suffer? Who wants to be persecuted? But the Apostle Paul says, I was as one born out of due season. He said that I was a pattern for them that should hereafter believe. All right? Well, one of those things about hereafter believing is the persecution. You're already getting it in America. Wokeism is a persecution of Christianity. Political correctness is persecuting you to your soul. The only reason it's not worse is because there's still a few million people left in this country who are not ready to roll over and die. But it's coming. It's coming. And it's right now, it's gotten to the point where the very heart and soul of this nation is at stake. Amen. I believe in freedom of speech. I believe a man ought to have a right, if he wants to stand on the street corner and preach Satan, let him preach it. Just as long as I can stand on the street corner and preach Christ, that's freedom of speech. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. That word troubled, it literally means pressed into a corner. In other words, he said, everything seemed like it's against us. Here I am called to preach the word, to go out and minister, to start churches. Yet every time I turn around, I'm getting pressed into a corner. Then he says, perplexed. You know what that word means? It means confused. Lord, did you call me to do this? You know what Jeremiah said? Ever since you called me to do this and preach your word, it hadn't gone good for me. I've suffered with it. This is what Paul was saying. The apostle was saying in the 2 Corinthians, he said, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which are alive, always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Amen. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The apostle wrote in Galatians 5:11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. And one of the major themes, not the only one, but one of the major themes of the book of Galatians is Judaizers trying to pervert the preaching of the simple gospel of Christ. And this is what he's talking about here. Yet if I preach circumcision, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ was minister to the circumcision, the Apostle Paul to the non-circumcision. In other words, the Gentiles. That's the way it was laid out. That's the way it was set. And then the Bible says that Peter addressed the 12 tribes scattered abroad. So that fell to Peter to minister to the Jew and to Paul to the Gentile. So we'd better listen. 2 Timothy 3:10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and then watch this one, at Lystra. You can read about that in the book of Acts. What happened to him at Lystra? Anybody remember? Lystra, in the book of Acts. He was stoned. Somebody said it. He was stoned. And we have every reason to believe that he may very well have been stoned to death, because he said in 2 Corinthians 12, he knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, couldn't tell. And this makes a good match. It's a good fit that he was left. His body was lying motionless on the side of the road, and his spirit and his soul ascended into the presence of God. I'm glad he did, because I'm glad he told us what he saw in 2 Corinthians 12. What did he see? That's the good thing about it. He won't tell you. It's not lawful, he said. He won't tell you. It's just like that thorn in the flesh. He won't tell you what it was. Amen. It's whatever God chooses for it to be. But I know this: eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things the Lord has in store for those that love him. Amen. The Apostle Paul said to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. As you get older, you know your time is passing, and you know it won't be long before you step across. As Fanny Crosby says it, that's tide, that swelling tide, to move to the other side. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, verse 10, but thou hast fully known this, and then how at persecutions at Lystra. He said, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. He lets you go through the sorrow. He lets you go through the death of a loved one. He lets you go through pain. He lets you go through all these things. Yet he never forsakes you. He'll never forsake you. Sometimes you'll go through it and you'll try to figure it out for the rest of your life, and you'll make no sense out of it. Sometimes things happen that has no rhyme or reason to it. Doesn't make a lick of sense. And our problem is that we try to figure it all out. You know what happens? If you think you can figure out everything as it relates to God, you're worshiping your brain and not God. You have to trust him, and it's not easy to trust him. Listen to what he said over here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 30. He said, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beast at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? And the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, one of the greatest chapters in the whole Bible. It starts out by saying, I declare unto you the gospel, how Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Then in 1 Corinthians 15, he reveals the mystery. He said, we shall not all sleep. But we shall be changed. Then he talks about the terrestrial and the celestial body. He talks about the body of honor and the body of dishonor. He compares the body here and the new body that you're going to get when you leave this world. Hallelujah to God. And if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. Folks, mine's dissolving and me still in it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verse 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves the ministers of God, in much patience, afflictions, necessities, distresses, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, and labors, watchings, fastings, and on and on and on the apostle goes. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, here again he says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. Verse 24, he says, of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. And you can read Josephus, and you can read some of the early Jewish writers, and they talk about that. It's where they took a cat of nine tails, and they tore your back open. And they tore your back open, you'd bleed, and a lot of people never survived it. They died. Had that happen to him 5 times. 5 times. And then he says this, three times I was beaten with rods. A rod, just take the rod and beat and beat and beat and beat. We don't know how long. We don't have any blows that he received. Can you imagine God's apostle? Can you imagine the apostle of God who wrote the New Testament enduring this beating, whippings? And then he said, once I was stoned. And we know where that happened. We read about it in Acts at Lystra. Then he said, 3 times I was shipwrecked. Well, we read about one of the shipwrecks in the book of Acts, and there are 2 others beside that. 2 others. 3 shipwrecks, he said. And this one is remarkable. He said, a night and a day I have been in the deep. Now you look at Greek word up and it means this, deep ocean. Deep, deep ocean. Not 500, 600, 700 feet. We're talking about 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 feet. In plain words, what he's trying to say is that he's out here holding a log or a piece of a ship or something, and he's out into the ocean, and he is in the deep. He's in the deep, not the shore. And he said, a night and a day I have been in the deep, and then in journeys and perils of robbers and perils of countrymen, perils of Gentiles and perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, and weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, hunger and thirst, fastings often, in cold and nakedness. I can imagine. I mean, really, I can't imagine. My life hasn't been anything like that. I've lived a pampered life compared to this. I really have. I've lived a pampered life compared to this. And he said, and beside the other things which comes upon me daily, my deep for the churches. He's keeping the churches. Why? Because he's the apostle who wrote the New Testament. And they came to him for clarity. The Jews were usually the first ones to stir up opposition to the apostle. The Jews. In Damascus, Acts chapter 9. In Jerusalem, Acts chapter 9. Antioch of Pisidia, Acts chapter 13. Iconium, Acts chapter 14. Lystra, Acts chapter 14. Thessalonica, Acts chapter 17. Berea, Acts chapter 17. And Corinth, Acts chapter 18. All these places. Trouble on every side. Day after day after day. What do you think the Lord's purpose was in that? God's got a purpose in everything that he does. Why put the man through so much? And one of the reasons is because he went through more than anybody I've ever known since I've been in this world. And I've seen some folks go through some hard times. But nobody I've ever seen go through anything compared to this. This is just unbelievable. Horrible, horrible, horrible. It's an amazing thing. 2 Timothy 4, he said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Peter said that too. Peter said, the Lord hath showed me how that I must shortly put off this my tabernacle. God let both of these saints know when he was going to get them. He said, you don't have much time left. Paul didn't sorrow. Paul got excited. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And here's what he says. This is a shout of victory. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. Love is appearing. It's getting dark out there, but heaven is as bright as it's ever been. And the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings when he comes into this dark pit that we call earth and creation. What a thing. In Romans 8:31, the Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? He is for you. He is for you. You say, well, he makes a funny way of showing it. God's got a greater purpose and a greater reason for ever life in this house. Yes, he does. You may think your life is over. You may think it's wasted. You may think that that there's nothing you can do that's ever going to happen to make it any better, but that's not true. God is the giver of life. Your life comes from him in the beginning. And if he's for you, who can be against you? Well, Satan's against you. But he wouldn't dare come against God. No way. He wouldn't dare. He had to get up some courage to come against Michael. And he said, why say that? Read Revelation 12. There was war in heaven. Satan and his angels fought against Michael, an archangel, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. They were cast down to the earth. And when they were cast down to the earth, they persecuted the Jew. The Jew, my dear friend, I love the Jews tonight, but they are in for the worst persecution they've ever had in their lives. It's coming. It's coming down upon them. For when Satan comes down, he's not coming down to persecute the church. He's coming down to persecute the Jews. And the first thing he does in the next chapter, chapter 13, he incarnates himself into a man who becomes the Antichrist. And that's going to happen, sure as you hear me. It's coming. Who can be against us? He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Here's the way I understand that. Satan can accuse you. He's watching every move you make. He can entice you. He can get you to sin if you don't watch what you're doing. Then he'll bring that right to God, and he'll say he's a complete failure and you're a failure in what you did to try to save him. He's going to accuse you to the Father. And the Father says, Satan, say what you please. I justify my own. I justify them. And the Bible says, love shall cover a multitude of sins. You ever read that one? Love shall cover a multitude of sins. How many of you men love your wife? Is she perfect? You haven't kicked her out yet, have you? You know why? You love her. You love her. I don't know of a religion, a culture, or a people on the face of this earth that has a love for their wife and for their husband like Christians do. It just doesn't go. We support missionaries, quite a few of them, and many of them I've known personally down through the years. They're good people. Here's the difference between a missionary and a preacher in a pulpit in America. The missionary lives with these people, okay? I had one tell me, she said, preacher, she says, the men of this country are like roach bugs. I thought, now I've heard everything. What in the world do you mean by that? They come out at night. Oh, she says, they come out at night. They'll get a girl pregnant and they'll fly away. Until she has her baby, then they'll come back. They make the rounds. They go from one place to the next. Now, they're not all like that. But you watch any culture, I don't care what it is, any culture where the man will not accept the responsibility to hold the family together, supply for that family, do what the man is supposed to do, and I'll show you a third world country. Period. This is why they despise toxic masculinity. Boy, what a terrible thing. It's awful for a man to be a man in this pervert generation. I get offended with that. They're offended with everything in the world. They get offended. I'm offended when you're throwing off on men. I was born male. I've been male 75 years, and I never had the first day where I thought I was something else but a male. Just put that in there tonight. Never did cross my mind one time. No, not one time. I'm married a female, folks. I married a female. I doubt if she's ever had a day in her life where she wondered what she was. She knows what she knows. So do I. All right? We have a home. God joined us together. We have a husband and a wife. All my life, I never one time ever looked to welfare or handouts to take care of my family. What did you do? I got a job before I ever got out of the Marine Corps. I was home on leave. I got the job, and then I got out on a Thursday, I think, and that following Monday, I went to work. And I saw the best bumper sticker I'd ever seen in my life the other day. You know what it said? It said, I fight poverty. I work. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Yes, sir. But this generation today is entitled, and it's destroying their families. It's destroying everything that's precious in this country. The Bible said in Romans 8, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. And who wrote Romans? Who wrote the book of Romans? Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle. He wrote Romans. He said, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. 1 Corinthians 15, same Paul said, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Apostle John says this, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You say, preacher, the world's in a mess. It is, and I'm going to leave it in a mess. It was a mess when I showed up. It's a bigger mess when I leave it. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. How's that go? Somebody else knowing the more? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. How's it go now? Continue with it? I'm going to make you become part of what's going on in here tonight. This is not a theater. It's not a show. What's that? What's it say? Yes? If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me. Is that what it says? And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. Amen. It's not my home. I'm just a vapor, popped up for a while. Wind blew me away. I'm gone. That's it. But where I'm going, there's a river of life. There's a river of life, and there's a throne. And the one sitting on that throne is from everlasting to everlasting to everlasting to everlasting. And he loved me with the purest love that you could possibly love anybody. Amen. And he does tonight. So whatever comes our way, I'm not asking for trouble. Lord, have mercy. I've lived too long for that. I'm not asking for trouble. But if it does come, I know he'll be there, and he won't fail me, and he won't fail you. When you walk out of this house tonight, thank him. Thank him for his promises of his word, not for your ability to keep anything. He'll keep. The Apostle Paul said, I was able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Yes, he keeps it. The Bible said he sealed me with the Holy Spirit of God the day of redemption. A seal. Seal means it can't be broken. Seal means I own that he owns me. That's what the seal's for. Sealed until the day of redemption. Oh, this world is not my home. Is there another verse to it? What's it go? How's it go? What's that now? Saints on every hand, they shout the victory. Somebody get a book. I'll spare you. I'm not going to sing. Let's see. Where is it here? 229. 229. Yeah, here it is. Verse 2. They're all expecting me. And that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know he'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a loving mother up in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I shake her hand. She's waiting now for me in heaven's open door. Does anybody have a mother up there waiting for you? Precious mother waiting for you? Just up in glory land will live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise drifts back from heaven's shore. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going up. You can go home if you want to. I'm going up. And nothing would please me better tonight is to hear on the way home. That'd be good. We're driving down Broadway, and a shout, and that shout takes place, and that little Nissan Rogue just keeps on going. But there's nobody in it. Yeah, there's nobody. Cops run it down. So where's the man? What happened to the driver? He's gone, son. Gone. Gone from this world. Father, bless your word. Thank you for the time we have together. We believe the Bible. What a great comfort. What a great joy. What light and life it gives to us to believe the Bible. And I know there are many, many, maybe all of them in this house tonight. Believe it without reservation. They accept it. They embrace it. And they rejoice in it. Bless them now as they go forth. Bless those we've prayed about tonight that are sick. Help them, Lord. Our Father, especially, Lord, especially that family, that little 9-year-old girl. Lord, they're in a dark, dark hole right now. Bless them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Meet Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, folks. Invite you to come. Be with us. Amen.